So we're in our series on Sunday mornings titled Destined for Glory. And in the first lesson, we looked at this was God's plan from ages past, that he would have a family with sons and daughters who are all shaped in the image and likeness of the Son of God. And then the second lesson we talked about, it begins with a birth, and we talked about the new birth. And lesson three, it's time to grow up. And then beginning in lesson four, all the way till now, we've been talking about the various ways that God grows us up, the way that God shapes our lives and makes us like Jesus. Today's lesson is titled, Hanging Out with God's Children. God shapes us through the saints. So godly fellowship is a vital part of spiritual growth. You see, who we choose to hang out with will determine what kind of Christian we become. Paul writes, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And so the way down spiritually is to get with the wrong crowd. And so God has given us the church as a support system to encourage us in our spiritual journey. Luke writes, beginning in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Fear came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among them all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as those who were being saved. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 42, he mentions four activities that the church was committed to the apostles' doctrine, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And the activity that I want to emphasize this morning in this particular chapter, in this lesson, is that of fellowship. And so we're looking at all the ways that God shapes our lives and makes us look like Jesus. And so far, we've seen that God uses a variety of means to bring about Christ's likeness in each one of us. We've seen that God uses suffering. He uses the Scriptures. He uses the Holy Spirit. He uses the example of His Son, Jesus Christ. We saw last week, He uses His providential care. And in this chapter, we'll see how God uses the saints, the church. You see, Christianity was never meant to be lived in isolation, but rather in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And God knows that we need each other. And God knew that we would need a support system to help us in our spiritual journey to Christ-likeness. And so I want us to look at three things today. First of all, God uses the example of godly saints to shape us like Jesus. Now, Paul on several occasions encourages the church as well as individuals to follow his example. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. In Philippians 3:17, Paul says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, and Paul encourages the church with these words, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example on how you should follow us. And then finally, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, Paul writes, he writes to Timothy, he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." You see, examples are powerful. And we've already seen in one of our lessons how God shapes us through the example of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One Sunday morning in 1865, a black man entered a fashionable church in Richmond, Virginia. When communion was served, he walked down the aisle and he knelt at the altar. A rustle of resentment swept through the congregation. How dare he? After all, believers in the church at that time used one common cup. Suddenly, a distinguished layman stood up, stepped forward to the altar, and knelt down beside the black man. With Robert E. Lee setting the example, the rest of the congregation soon followed his lead. But not all examples should be followed. President Coolidge once invited some friends from Vermont to dine with him at the White House. And they were worried about their table manners, and so they decided that they would do everything that their host did. All went well until coffee was served. Coolidge poured his coffee into a saucer. The guest did the same. The president added some sugar and cream. The guest did the same. And then Coolidge leaned over and put the saucer on the floor for the cat. So not all examples should be followed. But one of the ways that we learn is through the example of those who are following Jesus. That's one of the ways we learn how to do this thing called Christianity. When a person obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's a new creation, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And he's expected now to live a new life in Jesus. But he doesn't know what all is involved in following Jesus at this point in his life. And so he may observe a brother, another believer, and he is demonstrating the love of Christ in a powerful way. And he begins to think to himself, you know, I need to love people like that. I need to love people the way that brother loves people. And so he tries his best to imitate the love that he sees in another brother in Jesus Christ. Or perhaps he observes another brother who has an amazing prayer life. And this brother is then encouraged to have that same type of prayer life. He wants to pray with fervor and with passion as well. And so he observes the example and he follows that example. He may observe another brother who volunteers to serve in the church in some capacity, and he begins to look at himself and say, you know what, I need to serve the church as well. And so he follows this brother's example and volunteers to get involved in the church. You see, while he has the Bible to guide him, we need living examples all around us to show us how it's done. It's not enough just to read the book. We need the examples that we see in our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. It's how Christianity works. It's how we do so many things. It's how we operate in worship. No one goes to a class on prayer to lead a public prayer. You simply observe a brother get up and lead a public prayer or a couple of public prayers, and then you think, okay, I can do that. And then you get up and you lead a public prayer. And so you learn to do that by example. The same thing with the Lord's Supper and song leading and so many other things that we do. We see others do it and then we follow their lead. And so examples is one of the best ways to learn. And thank God that He has given us a family to learn from and to imitate. But secondly, God uses saints to encourage us to be like Jesus. Now, many of us are familiar with the words of the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 10. In Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 24, the writer says, "And let us consider one another to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And so Christians have an obligation to encourage their brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, these verses are often used to show the importance of worship, the importance of coming together and assembling on the Lord's day. But the emphasis of these scriptures is on exhorting and encouraging one another. That's the emphasis of these verses. And so, we should be actively involved in stirring one another up to love and good works. God wants us to be in each other's lives. How much further down the road of faith would you be if you had brothers or sisters who were in your corner cheering you on? Some believers don't get involved in the church simply because they're not encouraged to get involved in the church. Just imagine a community of believers where everyone is pushing each other to be all that they can be in Jesus Christ. Imagine what that would look like. If you're in a congregation and every one of us is fulfilling our duty, our responsibility to love and stir each other up, what would that look like? What would happen if we took these verses seriously? How many more Bible teachers and elders and preachers and workers would we have in the Lord's church if we took the words of the Hebrew writer seriously? How many weak Christians would now be strong? And how many would we have kept from falling away? Listen to the Hebrew writer, Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhorting one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You see, many believers, brothers and sisters, are tempted to leave the faith. But what's the remedy for that? How do we keep that from happening? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us very clearly in verse 13, encourage one another daily. You see, too many believers get away simply because they're neglected. That's why they get away. They get away because they're neglected. We baptize them, we place them on a pew, and then that's the end. They don't get the care, they don't get the guidance, they don't get the love, they don't get the encouragement. They're not being stirred to love and good deeds as we're all supposed to do. And consequently, as a result of neglect, that brother, that sister eventually falls away. When the church neglects their responsibility, the back door just swings wide open, and many go out the back door. The church is supposed to help believers to be faithful to God. And so, are you fulfilling your responsibility to encourage your brothers and sisters in Christ? Let me ask you another question. Who do you know who is faithful today because you encourage them? Can you think of people in your life that are faithful today because you encourage them? I hope that you can think of some. But number three today, I want us to see that God uses the saints to instruct us to be like Jesus. In the Great Commission, Jesus said, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age." So Jesus said in the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Now, You don't make disciples by having one Bible study with a person and then just let them fend for themselves after that. That is not how you make disciples. That's not how Jesus taught us to make disciples. You see, Jesus says, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, I love his philosophy of ministry. He says, Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. You see, it was important for Paul that every believer be made perfect in Jesus Christ. And this requires labor. It requires striving. It requires work. The alternative is to do nothing and let new believers simply sit on a pew and gradually die. That's the alternative. And we have seen that scene play out again and again and again and again, have we not? Yeah, we've seen this scene play out. We've seen it many times. One of my favorite illustrations of the centrality of the church as it relates to Christian formation is D.L. Moody's response to a man who tried to argue that it is possible for a person to be a Christian without participating in the life of the church. And as he made his argument, Moody leaned forward in his chair, picked up a poker, pulled a burning coal of fire that was ablaze near them, and he placed it on a stone hearth. And as the coal slowly dimmed and went out, the man said, Mr. Moody, you've made your point. As Robert Mulholland comments, we can no more be conformed to the image of Christ outside of corporate spirituality than coal can continue to burn outside of a fire. And I believe that that is 100% true. And so God intended for the church to be a place where His family is involved in the lives of others, encouraging them to be like Jesus. We need our church family. These people who say things like, well, you know, I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. These folks have no idea what they're saying. None. Absolutely none. You can't have Jesus and not have the church. I mean, they come together. What you do to become a Christian is what you do to become a member of the Lord's church. They're one and the same. When you become a Christian, you become a member of the Lord's church. If you're a member of the Lord's church, you're a Christian. You can't have Jesus without the church. They go together. They're one and the same. And so, we need to stop the nonsense. And we need to get involved in encouraging our brothers and sisters to be more like Jesus. Because that's what God intended for His church. So the church is important. The church is valuable. We need the church. And God uses the church. Thank God many of you are where you are spiritually because of the church. And if it were not for the church, you wouldn't be where you are spiritually today. Don't ever take the church for granted. The church is valuable if you're a believer in Jesus. And if you're on this journey to Christ-likeness, you'll never arrive there without the church. God intended for the church to help us in our spiritual journey. And so this morning, maybe you're not a member of the Lord's church. Well, you can be. The Bible is pretty clear that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves everyone. Sent Jesus to die to pay the penalty of your sins on the cross. And if you'll by faith come and repent of your sins. Confess faith in the name of Jesus. Be buried with Him in the waters of baptism. God will eradicate your sins. God will fill you with His Holy Spirit. God will include you in His family. It's simply that easy. That's all you have to do. And so this morning, if you've never responded to the gospel, we're going to sing a song and we're going to encourage you to respond. If you need prayer for some other reason in your life, we encourage you to come and let us pray with you as well. But whatever your need is this morning, please make that known while we stand together and sing.